really has a message for all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So it really changes our lives. So this morning we're going to be talking about the mystery made known, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel. We all have been touched by the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and Paul talks about that in this passage of scriptures here in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is dwelling on stewardship, the right handling and practicing of our faith, and he kind of explains all of this, gives us an explanation of why he is a servant of Christ. Because he says, I'm a prisoner, but which means a servant of Christ. So let's look at verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles. Okay, that would be us, right? Yeah. So I thank Paul for that. I mean, he put it in, Lord put it in Paul's heart, and he didn't waver from it. Even though, and that's why he got put in prison, because of us Gentiles, because the Jews wasn't happy about him promoting the gospel to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Okay, verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by the revelation there was made known to me the mystery. Okay, there's that word again. Mystery. As I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you understood my insight into, there it is again, the mystery of Christ, which in the other generations was not made known to the sons of men. Now he's talking, going back to the Old Testament, talking about the sons of men, as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Now, he gets down to details right here. He wants to be specific. To be specific that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles as unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to the light what is the administration of that, there's the word mystery again, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. That would be us, the church, to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence, access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations. You know, he wasn't thinking about himself, was he? He said, don't lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. If we could speak that way, well, there wouldn't be no boldness or pride in our lives at all. There wasn't any in Paul's at all. So, let's look at this word mystery. It's the key word here in this passage, because I mentioned it several times. Mystery. Now, it's not the same meaning as we think of when we hear the word mystery, something unknown. are who did it. It's a mystery. Who did it? No, it's not that. The biblical definition is a divine sacred secret that is hidden in the heart of God and cannot be understood unless God chooses to reveal it to man. And that's exactly what he did. That's what Paul is revealing here. He revealed it to Paul, and Paul passed it on. At the right time, Christ came into the world, at the right time, he revealed the revelation through the apostles and the prophets for us to know what's on God's heart. Now, Paul had a way of taking pop culture. I mean, he preached and he ministered and he taught around the pop culture of that time, the words that God laid upon his heart. And I would say that he baptized them into the faith and then using them to teach the people of the things of God. And that's how we learn. That's how we learn, through reading the word and through the things of God that he reveals to us at the right time for us to know, so that we can apply it each day of our lives as we go out into the world. See, we're not of the world, we're in the world each day. And so the things that we learn from God's word, the things that we learn from one another, the things that we learn at church, we are to apply those in our daily activities, our daily functions, the task. And we can apply those things. The things I've learned throughout my years before I became a minister, before I became a pastor, in my secular job in engineering and other things that I did, I still am able to apply those things even in ministry. And see, that's what Paul is saying. The things that we learn, the things that are mystery to us, can be revealed and will be revealed at the right time that God chooses. And God chose Paul to reveal those things to us, as we are Gentiles, or we are now the people of God, because God chose. The gospel never changes. You know, that was a perfect song to sing today, wasn't it? God, the gospel never changes. Now, example of what this scripture is relating to us today. See, the Greek game of Olympians were very popular, and that's why Paul mentions the running and the wrestling and the boxing in his 13 books that he wrote, because he's helping us to identify what took place in the Roman world and the cultures of that time. And when he speaks of the judgment seat of Christ, and that's the Bema seat, is a platform which athletes stood upon and received their awards, like they do today. You know, you get your bronze, your silver, and your gold, and you stand on this platform and you get your reward. One of these days, that's what we will get as we serve God faithfully. You know, praise God that, you know, our sins have already been judged, our sins, because they have been forgiven, so they're judged and no longer held, we're held accountable to them. But the rewards are still to come. And that's what the mystery made known is all about. Now, going back to this word mystery, it's taken right out of Paul's culture, where mystery, religions, were common. They were very common in that day. And Ephesus was filled with secret societies. And we have secret societies today, don't we? We do. Mystery religions which taught all sorts of doctrines contrary to the Word of God. And those societies that are teaching things contrary to the Word of God even today. And we need to be aware. We need to know the difference. And that's why it helps us on a daily basis in your devotional time to read and study the Word of God so you can rightly divide the Word of Truth, as 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, so that we can rightly divide the Word of Truth. When we hear words spoken, whether they're true or they're false. Now, to join one of these societies back in Paul's day, you'd have to go through initiations. And if you pass, then certain secrets would be disclosed to you. And as you climb through their hierarchy, more would be revealed to you as well. But to the man on the street that wasn't a member of one of these societies, those secrets were called mysteries, as it is in our today's world. So, looking at this, in contrast, Paul knew some secrets revealed from God. And see, now he is laying them out so that they could understand, even that we can understand today. And said in verse 9, Paul is saying, I'm telling you the whole world the secret, whether they want to hear it or not. And of course, we know that the Jews didn't want to hear what he had to say because it was contrary to their beliefs and their thinking. But the Gentiles was eager to hear, and we are eager to hear as well. Now, let's look at three things, main mysteries of the New Testament. And I was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which talks about Christ's cross. Who would think that the Messiah king would die rather than taking the throne? He came into the world not to take the throne, but to die for our sins. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us. And Paul says this mystery has been revealed because that's why Christ did come to this world, to die for our sins. And we should be convicted about that. You know, as we sung that song, since Jesus came into my heart, man, that should really lift our spirits, knowing that Jesus is in your heart, living and real and alive, and the Holy Spirit is very and wants to be active in your life if we will let him. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul talks about that Christ is coming again. He came first of all to save us from the sins within this world, and then he said, I will be coming back again. And if you read all the way through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it will tell you that Christ, when he comes, he will be coming in the twinkling of an eye. I used one of my object lessons or tricks of pulling the tablecloth out, you know, under dishes and a full glass of water and the utensils and everything. And I used this very one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I told the children, if you blink, you'll miss this trick. And of course, most of them did miss it. And someone was trying to take a picture, but they didn't get it because it happened too quick. You see, we're going to, you know, when he comes again, a lot of people are not going to be ready, are they? But the Bible said that we are to be ready and prepared at any time when Christ comes again. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. That's what he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as well. Ephesians chapter 3 is about Christ's church. And then, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, it says, this mystery, and get it up there. There you go. It finally got up there. This is a great mystery. For Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. See, Christ died for the church. He died that we might spend eternity with him one of these times. So as Paul contemplated the mutual love, and when you read Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the husband and the wife and the church. It's a mutual love. It's loyalty. It's the loving headship of the husband and loving submission of the wife. Riches bestowed. Intimacy of the oneness that we have in Christ Jesus. It's like a husband and wife are one in Christ, are one in spirit. And the self-sacrifice that should describe every marriage. The self-sacrifice, it's not about me. It's not just about one individual. It's about the whole, about the one. And Paul saw in these a picture of Christ and the church. So vividly explains that here in Ephesians chapter 5 about the husband and the wife and the church and Christ being the head of the church. So now let's get a little bit understanding of what Paul is talking about of this mystery, which he says, the revelation of the mystery, and Paul explains that here in verses 3 and 4. Just imagine a couple engaged, and they haven't told anyone. They get engaged, but they don't tell anyone. But just so happens, one of them lets it slip, and they reveal it to someone. Well, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Everybody's going to know after that. Just let it slip. Oh, I'm telling you, but don't tell nobody else. Okay, that's open season, isn't it? You just tell everybody. Now, I'm going to tell you, but you don't tell nobody because they told me not to tell nobody, but I'm telling you because I know you won't, but you will, and you did. And see, that's what Paul is doing here. One day, God had a secret which he had kept for all time, but whispered it to Paul's ear. Okay? Are you with me here? He whispered to Paul's ear, who made it his business to tell everyone. That's what Paul did. He couldn't contain himself. He was so excited. And that was God's intention from the very beginning, because he knew that Paul would do it. See, Paul's not going to give you anything unless he knows you will do it, because he knows the heart. See, God knows. He knows our hearts. He knew Paul's heart. He knew Paul when he revealed the mystery that was a mystery to so many, especially the Jews, and related it on to the Gentiles. And they caught on to it. And here we are today. Because Paul, men like Paul, was willing to reveal what that mystery is. And now it's no longer a mystery to us. And we are to help others to understand, who has no concept or any knowledge of what church is about. I am amazed each year at church camp of all the children all the way up to the age grade 6 that have no idea what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. They don't understand it. But it doesn't have to be a mystery to anyone in this day and time, because we have what no one else had in those days, all printed in black and white. So it should never be a mystery. Anything in the Word of God should not be a mystery to us. Even though we may not completely understand it, But if we get in and dig in and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it, like he did to Paul, he will do that. He revealed it to Paul, he will reveal it to us. See, that's why Paul, that's why he said, I'm a prisoner. You know why he said that? Because he said, I'm a prisoner for the sake of you, Gentiles, and for the sake of us. That's why Paul called himself a prisoner, a servant of Christ. See, Paul was kept in trust with this mystery, which he is now allowed to reveal, namely that the Jews and the Gentiles will be united into one believing group, and that group is what? The church. That's us. And men that weren't there, weren't here yesterday, our speaker was Gary Lee, did a tremendous job, didn't he, men? A tremendous job explaining our responsibility as a church and to our community, and our responsibility is building relationships. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's trying to build relationships between the Jews and the Gentiles. Some was willing and some were not. And today, that is our awesome responsibility. And in Acts chapter 22, Paul is arrested. And he gives his testimonies to the Jews. And he said that G word. You know what that G word is? Gentile. And that's what got him arrested. That's what got him in trouble. But he didn't waver. In disgust, they tore off their clothes. They threw dust in the air and said Paul was not fit to live. They wanted to kill him on the spot. God preserved him. See, he could have gone free if he had compromised his message and left out the Gentiles, but that is not the mystery. You and I are the part of that mystery. God's plan was for it to be revealed. Now, the second part of this is where Paul explains that mystery. In verse 6 here, the explanation is, anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 12 says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, which is Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. Who called upon his name. You recognize you're sinful. You're sinful. You know, we're none righteous. No, not one. In verse 13, it talks about whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. In Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And when I'm at church camp, I'm talking to children, I use Romans 10, 9 and 10, and then 13. I say, that's pretty simple, isn't it? And they'll nod their head. All we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit's already at work. All we got to do is recognize he is Lord. God raised Jesus died for our sins. God raised him from the dead. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And all we have to do is just call upon him and we'll be saved. See, that is a mystery revealed to each one of us. It's very simple, and sometimes we try to complicate it, but it's very simple. See, Paul was the keeper of this mystery. God revealed it to him, and he revealed it to us. He entrusted him, but he doesn't give him the big head, but a broken heart for people. Oh, if we had a broken heart for people, just like Paul, as he looked at the Jews He was brokenhearted because of their resistance to him. Him being a Roman himself, changed by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach and teach to the Gentiles. Why can't you get on board with me, Paul would say. Get on board with me. He would often say in all of his 13 books of the Bible, let's come together. Let us reason together. Let us talk it out. Let us get all of this on the table. We're all the same. We're all created equal, as our Constitution tells us. We're created equally in the sight of God. None less, none more. But sometimes the old head is pretty hard, isn't it? It's pretty clouded. It's mucky up there sometimes. Got to get those cobwebs out. Clear thinking, pure heart, and clear thinking is what Paul always promotes in his Gospels. Be sober in mind is what Paul would say. Okay, let's look at the manifestation of the mystery in verse 10. Oh, there we go. Now, angels can learn something from the church. You know that? Angels even can. In 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to lay that down. It's not wanting to work with me this morning, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, if you want to go there with me right quickly, we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. So you see what I'm saying? You know, angels can learn from the church. We can learn from one another. As Paul was teaching, you know, we can learn. See, there's a lot more being in this room than your eyes can see. There's more about being in here, in this sanctuary, than you can see. It's called a mystery. Of all the words that's ever been spoken, with all the experiences that you've seen, with all the things that happened since this church has been established, it's a mystery. And it's revealed. So, the fallen angels are watching as well. Just as angels are learning of God's wise plan through the church, demons should learn that their leaders have no wisdom and they cannot win. Christ has already won the victory. See, the devil should learn from our church that when he inspired the ones who killed Jesus, he in effect sealed his own doom. Yes, he did. So I'm glad that everyone can learn something in the church, aren't you? I'm glad that we can learn something when we come every Sunday morning. We can learn something. Gary Lee and I was talking yesterday about anytime you sit in front of someone and you listen. It was noted that I was taking notes as he was speaking. I always take notes. I take notes. You know, the worst speaker I've ever heard in my life, I learned something. You know why? Because I was looking for something. You can always learn something if you're looking for something. And Paul was wanting people to listen and get something. Because the gospel was being explained. It was once a mystery, but no longer a mystery because Paul was revealing that mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as he sat in prison. Oh, how faithful he was. And then their undertaking of the mystery In verse 7 and verse 9, Paul has a ministry of spreading this gospel, which is a mystery. Supposedly, our culture is the most enlightened of all times. Our culture, the culture that we live in today, is the most enlightening culture has ever been, because we have the Word of God right here in our presence. If that is so, then why does Jesus and His church remain a mystery to so many? Because we're not telling them. Maybe it's a church, and maybe it's individually. How many of us on a daily basis talk or say something to someone else about Jesus? It should never be a mystery to anyone in this day and time. Because of the technology that we have, we're so consumed with technology that we're forgetting about Jesus. The simple things, a simple plan of salvation. It's not complicated at all. I was thinking about this mystery, and in our daily activities, our technology, and the things that we know, have learned through the years, and we are applying those today. And I was just thinking, what if a man found a cure for cancer and was unwilling to share it with anyone? What if someone discovered a cure for cancer and decided not to share it with anyone? You know what? I think that would be criminal, wouldn't you? I think it would. Now, there are still secret societies today, and I don't throw stones at those who want to be a part of those societies. I just happen to believe that if a secret is really good, it's a good one, you should want to share it with the world. You'd want them to know it, wouldn't you? And what is our responsibility? We have been saved in order that what? God may present a people which will astonish the whole world. That's who we are. That's what we've been called to do. See, Paul didn't hold back. He revealed it. He told it. You know, not holding back at all. We should be the same way. Reveal that mystery that the whole world is looking for. They're looking for something, but they're going in the wrong directions, and we can get them back on the right path, or show them the right path, the right direction, if we point them to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you that you have revealed that mystery that Paul talks about, that everyone that we meet and we come in contact on a regular basis, some that we know do know you personally, but some people we may have known for many, many years and really don't, and not that much, spend that much time around them, really don't know what's in their heart. You do, but we can help them by asking and sharing our faith, so all doubts would be removed. Lord, you count on us. You've given us an awesome privilege and responsibility. And the gospel never changes, so we don't have to worry about that part. All we have to do is just be willing to present it and share it and live it. Live it each day. Lord, we all come into this sanctuary with needs, troubles, burdens, hardships. And Lord, this sanctuary is a hospital. And you're the great physician. You're the great healer. And we go to a regular doctor, And he tells us, prescribes us what we need to do. And most of the time we do that. By the touch of your mighty hand, you can touch our lives and clean it up. You can heal it and set us on the right path. But then it comes back to us. We've got to be willing to do that. We must have a humble spirit, an open heart, to receive your blessings and your goodness. Sometimes it just takes that one step to come forward. First of all, accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And next, to surrender our life to you fully, to make it public, not to be ashamed, as Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it has the power unto salvation. Let your will be done in each and every one of our hearts as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. May we be willing to take a stand for you. If we don't take a stand for you here in this sanctuary, more than likely we won't take a stand outside just these four walls. So give us the willingness and the right spirit and the zeal to do what is needed to do, to be done, to present Jesus Christ to others. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is